Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel in mind now and in person soon.
And we're back with this News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, this week, Iowa lawmakers returned to the Capitol building. If you remember, back in mid-March, their 2020 session was halted abruptly due to coronavirus concerns and health recommendations against large gatherings. Although precautions remain in place at the Capitol, lawmakers resumed their business. Let's check in with IPR's state government reporter, Katarina Sestarek. Hi, Katarina.
Hi, Ben.
In the few minutes that we have, let's start off with the goals that lawmakers have set for this very shortened session.
Right. Their goals are essentially to get some policy priorities through that they had been working on before the coronavirus hit Iowa. There's quite a long list of things that they've actually been able to get through just in the past couple of days, more things they're working on today. Then they also have to get a new budget done. They'll have about $360 million less than they originally thought they'd have for this round of budgeting. But at this point, they still have not agreed on a budget.
Mm-hmm. What about legislation related to the coronavirus pandemic?
Legislation related to the coronavirus pandemic, they have one bill that's expected to be debated in the House today. It would give businesses and healthcare providers protection from coronavirus-related lawsuits. So this is something that Republicans are saying is needed to make sure that there aren't a lot of just frivolous lawsuits being filed about coronavirus exposure. But Democrats say that it isn't strict enough in its requirements of what it would require businesses to do in order to protect people from coronavirus in order to be protected from these lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. And what's been happening this week concerning the widespread protests that we've been seeing in terms of racial justice?
There has been quite a bit more talk of racial justice and racial disparities than is typical for the State House. Democrats there have proposed three policies to respond to the protests and to help prevent police violence, and those include banning police chokeholds, making it illegal to rehire officers who are fired for misconduct, and then ensuring that the attorney general can investigate and prosecute police misconduct. And Republican leaders are saying that they want to work with Democrats on these proposals to get to possibly get these done before the end of this session. But then you also have members of the Legislative Black Caucus who are pointing out that they've tried to get proposals like an anti-racial profiling bill and minority impact statements passed in the past few years, and those have not gotten traction among Republicans.
Mm-hmm. And in a very few seconds, I know you have to get back to the Capitol building. Does the legislature look and feel different with the COVID precautions?
Well, staff and the public get a temperature screening before entering the Capitol. You definitely see people wearing masks. Pretty much all of the Democrats have been wearing masks, and not all of the Republicans have been wearing masks. They're also, the committees are held in the full House and Senate chambers to allow for social distancing, and there's just way fewer people around at the Capitol than what is typical.
Okay, we'll look forward to your further reporting. IPR state government reporter Katarina Sestarek, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben.
It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. 2020, what a year, and we aren't even halfway through. Let's think back to the start of the year. We had the start of the 2020 legislative session back in January. Then, right at the start of February, the Iowa caucuses, caucus chaos, as it was dubbed, unfortunately, as it turned out. Doesn't that seem like light years ago? It does to me, for sure. Well, then, more than 2 months ago, this COVID crisis struck. That was mid-March. Right on the heels of that, the resulting economic crash. And now, since last week, outrage across the country and a nationwide call for racial justice. We have been through a lot. Nearly 600 COVID deaths just in our state. Massive unemployment. Perhaps you or a loved one have lost your job and have been plunged suddenly into economic distress. But what if you didn't have much to begin with before these crises? What if, before this national health and economic turmoil, you didn't have a job? You didn't even have a home? Well, as more Americans and Iowans face hard times, let's find out about the organization Urban Dreams in Des Moines. Joining us to talk about it, Negus Imhotep. He is the public school, the Des Moines Public School Liaison and Workforce Development Coordinator with the nonprofit Urban Dreams. Negus, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me.
So, acquaint us with your organization, Urban Dreams. Tell us about it and who you serve in Polk County and Central Iowa.
Well, Urban Dreams was established by former State Representative Wayne Ford in 1985. And the reason why Urban Dreams was formed, it was on 6th Avenue and Forest, down near North Des Moines. Was a lot of prostitution and drug trade that was going on. And most of the businesses were closed before nightfall. And Evelyn K. Davis and Jesse Taylor of Des Moines got with Wayne Ford. He wasn't a representative at the time, but got with them. And they established this nonprofit to stay open in the community and was created to provide services for the people in this particular area. Looking at the racial demographics of who we serve out of the majority of the population here is Caucasian, but 52% of the people that we serve are Caucasian in our community. And I could say about 41% would be African or African-American, someone who would classify as that. And the other percentages of Hispanic and Asian community.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about the economic status of the people that are served by Urban Dreams. These are people, families living in some real poverty, right?
Correct. Well, the thing is, Urban Dreams, we serve people not just here in Des Moines. We serve people around the state because of our substance abuse treatment program that we have. And we have DUI, diversionary programs that we do around the state. So, but we focusing on the inner city. We look at the issue of dealing with people who have been historically subjugated and looking at how racial capitalism works. When you're already at the bottom of the totem pole economically, people with less will find the hurt the most. You know, so if America has a cold, African Americans and Blacks have pneumonia.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you mean by the term racial capitalism?
The term racial capitalism is a term that Cedric Robinson and others, Robin D.G. Kelly from UCLA, they state that racial capitalism is what it is. All capitalism is racial, because if you look from the 1619 Project, when Africans were brought to America, chained as and incarcerated and forced to work as prisoners of war in this country, not just the term that they use, slaves, people were forced into being a commodity. And now today, those people who were once labeled as a commodity are competing for the US dollar. And when you're already at the bottom, you're telling someone to fight to catch up. I worked also with the Iowa Commission on the Status of African Americans for 9 years here in the state of Iowa. And the disparity issue is overwhelming. And with all the information that's already out there, the quantitative as well as qualitative information, there's really no need to do any more studies. We just have to take action and find the best practice approach.
What has Urban Dreams, with all your services, not only in the Des Moines and Central Iowa area, but statewide, what have you found to be most effective? What do we need more of? What works?
What works would be the dismantling of white supremacy and reparations. That would work because until America addresses this problem, we're going to continue to be in the same situation.
Mm-hmm. What, when you look at the last 2 weeks and the protests over racial disparities, of course, sparked by the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, what does that give you hope that you see these people on the streets and the reaction? What sense does that give you going forward?
George Floyd's life was the sacrificial lamb that broke the camel's back. And when we look at George Lloyd is a native of my hometown, Houston, Texas, and coming up in Third Ward, Houston, Texas, he was a student athlete, and my younger cousin and George were classmates, and they played football together, and they were close friends. So it's hitting home for me here in Iowa, and we have to address this issue, and I think where I feel right now that his death has caught the attention of the planet, because this is not just going on in the U.S., it's going on around the world.
In these protests, when we look around the country in the myriad of cities where the protests are happening, including across Iowa, that the mix of protesters have a lot of different skin colors there, not just black and brown.
Yes. Yes, that's why it's a new day. It's a new time because the youth are not ready to maintain that old status quo. Today, these kids are crying out for the life of an individual and looking at the systemic problem that has gone on for generations. These kids are not saying, "We shall overcome." They're demanding change. And that's scary to a lot of people, but that's what they're demanding.
Mm-hmm. Back to the practical help that Urban Dreams, your organization, offers underserved, underrepresented populations in Iowa. Since we've had these crises sweep over the country, sweep over our state, what are you seeing in the people you serve? What change for these people who were, if we could say, hanging on by a thread, if that, with in terms of employment or unemployment and housing, no housing.
Well, the thing is, we have not closed since the pandemic hit. We serve food Monday through Friday at out of Urban Dreams at 601 Forest Avenue. We give away pastries, we give away produce, we give away hot meals on Tuesdays and Thursdays at Evelyn Davis Park, where people come through and drive through. The first week that we did it, we served 500 people in less than 50 minutes. Then we ran out because people were still lined up. So when you're looking at the housing issue, when like I stated, people who are already marginalized and are usually doing some of these positions that are service oriented are out of work and they're looking for shelter. I had a young lady, for instance, I'm not going to call her name, who was an immigrant here from Canada. And she's catching hell right now because the issue, she worked as a bartender and the bars have been closed for 3 months. So she can't pay her rent. And now the governor lifts the ban, you know, and here we go. Now she's looking for a place to stay.
Right.
Another gentleman that I won't call his name either. He was supposed to be on the call, who I met over 2 years ago. who was going through the reentry process. And this young man, older gentleman, he had been out of work because of the COVID-19, and now the change has occurred by the governor, and now he's no longer in the apartment that he has, and now he's at the downtown shelter.
Right, so, and just so our listeners are aware, those who are not, the governor back in March had an emergency health declaration pausing evictions, including for those of non-payment of rent, to keep people in their homes during this pandemic. Now, that order was allowed to expire by the governor last week, but also last week the state launched a short-term program to help Iowans affected by these closures with rental mortgage payments to prevent them from losing their homes amid the pandemic. Is the state doing enough now to protect the most vulnerable, in your opinion, Negus?
It's the people, the most vulnerable, the ones that don't have access to the internet, don't have access to opportunities to complete forms. We're in a mess right now. Just like they've taken stations for testing, there need to be stations for housing.
Negus, thank you for sharing with us the picture from your line of work. You work with Urban Dreams as the Des Moines Public School Liaison and Workforce Development Coordinator. The nonprofit is Urban Dreams. Sounds like you're doing a lot of good work there, Negus. Negus Imhotep, we appreciate your time. You take care.
All right. Have a great day.
And we're coming to the end of this News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. What a week. What a hard week it's been. Mark Simmet is with us. We like to groove into the weekend on Fridays at the end of News Buzz. Mark, you there?
Yeah, Ben, as you mentioned earlier, not just a hard week, but a hard year.
A hard year, and it's not even half over, as I mentioned earlier in the program. You've got a very special tune that is more than a half century old to take us out with. Not the original version, but a cover. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's difficult to do a cover of such a well-known song. This is from Eliza Gilkison. She's a singer-songwriter coming out of the folk tradition, more contemporary in her approach, you might say, to folk music. She's had a decades-long career, and her latest album is titled 2020. It was recorded before the pandemic and the recent events, and she does this cover of Bob Dylan's song.
Where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I've crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's hard, it's hard, it's hard. It's a hard, it's a hard rain's gonna fall. Oh, what did you see, my blue-eyed son? What did you see, my darling young one? Saw a newborn. Saw a room full of men with their hammers a-bleeding. I saw a white ladder all covered with water. I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all...
It's remarkable, Mark Simmet, that a song that is, well, nearly 60 years old can have that much impact and relevance for our days today. I was reading up in his memoir. Dylan called it one long funeral song. Dylan speaks to all ages, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, and just goes to show why his music has lasted over 50 years. This particular song, over 50 years old, a lot of images in this song, and a lot to be said there.
Okay, Mark Simmet, your daily soundtrack, IPR's Studio One. Mark, thanks so much. 7 nights a week, 7 o'clock, the best music, old favorites, and as you see, amazing covers. Let's go out with a little more of that Hard Rain's Gonna Fall cover by Eliza Gilkison, if we could, from her new album titled 2020. River to River, produced by Matt Alvarez, Caitlin Harrop, Rick Brewer, our executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk show is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend.
On the side of 12 misty mountains, I've walked and I've crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's hard, it's hard, it's hard, it's a hard, it's a hard rain's gonna fall. Oh, what did you see, my blue-eyed son? What did you see, my darling young one? Saw a newborn. Saw a room full of men with their hammers a-bleeding. I saw a white ladder all covered with water. I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all...
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel, in mind now, and in person soon.